Welcome, everybody, to the Live from the Code Bar podcast, recorded from the Code Theme Bar of Fenwood Manor. I'm your host, Rob. So today on the show, I have a very special guest talking to us all the way from Germany. I have Pager, creator of the new puzzle book, A Compendium of Meta Puzzles. Welcome, Pager.
Hello, Robert. Thanks for having me. And hello to all the diggers and searchers.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I found your information and found you on Facebook through the puzzles, one of the puzzles groups I'm a part of, and I know many of our listeners are part of the group as well, and just got fascinated by your book. So I reached out to you on Facebook and wanted to have you come on because I know this is just something that's just launched just recently. So what I want to do is I want to give you a chance to introduce yourself to everybody that's not part of that group and tell us a little bit about your project then.
Yeah. Well, my name is, as you said, Peđa Banović. My background is a bit confusing. I was born in Serbia, in Belgrade. I have a Spanish nationality because I used to live in Spain. Now I live in Berlin, Germany, and the book has been published in the US. So it's all a bit complicated. I am a puzzle author. I have been making puzzles for more than 20 years. That's my main job. I make mostly the puzzles for the Spanish market in Spanish language, but I also did some projects in the UK. I produce many different kinds of puzzles like crosswords, logic puzzles, mostly puzzles involving words and letters, but also some other things. I like inventing new puzzle types most. I love generally innovative things and creative things. So this book is a result of all that. It's, I would say, a very unusual kind of a puzzle book.
So that was what I was going to get into. Most books or puzzle books in general have puzzles that lead up to a meta puzzle, but this as the title says, a compendium of meta puzzles. So tell us a little bit about the book. What's going on there?
Well, the thing is, the word meta puzzle can have two meanings. Actually, you can say that a meta puzzle is the last puzzle in a chain of puzzles, right? Or in a set of mutually interconnected puzzles, which lead to a final answer through that last puzzle. But you can also call the whole set of puzzles a meta puzzle. And that's what some of the definitions that you can find online or anywhere also say. So I use this meaning of the word for the meta puzzle, for the puzzle that I have in the book. So I have 22 meta puzzles without instructions. That's the premise of the book. And they always occupy a two-page spread. Each one of them. The book has a spiral binding, so it's easy to have it open while working on both pages at the same time. And first of all, let's say the book is published by Puzzle Right Press from New York, and I'd like to mention two persons who were involved most in making it together with me, Francis Heaney, the editor from Puzzle Right Press, and Miles Schaller, who helped me in the initial stages of the project, was the main tester and did a lot of great things for the book. So they were both great to work with. I wanted to mention them. And now I can maybe explain a little bit what these puzzles actually are, how they look like.
Yes, please. Yes.
Yeah. So each puzzle is on two pages, as I said. So it says it always starts with a short introduction. It's just a short text which sets the scene and tells the solver what they are looking for as a solution. So it can be, it kind of introduces the mystery that you're supposed to solve. And for example, it can be something like this. You are a secret agent on a mission. You have been instructed to visit a bar where an unknown person shows up and will pass on some information. So when you open the envelope that is supposed to contain a description of the contract, you see this meta puzzle. You see this bunch of codes or puzzles, actually, not really codes. So this introduction tells us that we are looking for a phrase as a solution, which is a description of that person. In some other cases, the solution of a puzzle can be shorter. It can be a single word. Sometimes it's a number, depending on this story given in the introduction. So next to this small story, we see the puzzle spreading across two pages, and it always consists of several smaller puzzles, which we call elements in the book. So these elements can take a lot of different forms and shapes. Sometimes you can see, for example, some small grids with some letters in it or numbers, or maybe some empty grids, some lists of words. Then you can see symbols, geometric shapes, strings of letters, some drawings, very simple ones. Sometimes you will see things which look like codes or ciphers, though I haven't really used any of the real advanced encryption methods in the book. It's all just basic ones, and I wanted the puzzles to be solvable for everyone, so people don't have to know anything about code breaking in order to solve. And there are sometimes also some elements which resemble some classic puzzle types, such as a crossword, a word search, a maze, and similar things. Not so often, because I tried not to make it too easy to guess what you need to do with the element, right? I wanted to make it always mysterious. When you see a crossword, you know how to solve it. But so there is, for example, one crossword in the book, but a very unusual one with something really unexpected happening when you solve it. So there are a few of these too. And the main thing about all this is that you have no instructions in the book ever about how to solve the meta puzzle and where to start, how to combine all these elements. The order of the elements, like the appearance of the elements, has nothing to do with the order of solving. So you always have to look yourself for the entry point. You have to find the initial puzzle, which can be solved independently from the rest. And when you solve it, it will reveal something. It will reveal some piece of information that you can maybe use in solving another element. So it can be a phrase which is clearly understandable and tells you exactly how to apply it to something else. Or you can find something like a word or a picture or maybe just a string of characters. So sometimes it's a little bit more cryptic, and you might at times have to leave it and wait until it becomes clear what you can do with it at some other point. So yeah, when everything is solved, then you can either reveal the complete sentence, which tells you the solution of the mystery from the beginning, or you will have again to use your wits to extract it from the final step. It's not always obvious. And generally, I mean, the good thing about the book is that there are often hidden surprises, there are unexpected solutions. I try to make it as diverse as possible. There are no repeated puzzling techniques in the book. There are some puzzles with several layers of solving procedures. And it's very often exciting, and somehow the final steps are exciting, and the puzzle can be solved in a satisfying, interesting way. And I really had a lot of fun working on this. I really enjoyed working on this, and I think that, and I hope that people will also enjoy as much when they solve it.
So, and I know in preparing for this our show today, you sent me a couple of sample pages, and I have, just so everybody knows, I have purchased the book. It's on its way here from Amazon, and I'll give you the directions on how you too can get it in just a few minutes. But I love it. It reminds me of some of those puzzle books that you might see just on the shelves of any bookstore, but more advanced. Like, anybody can do those, but these ones, because they give you the instructions, they tell you what you're looking to do, what you need to do. This one, you look at it, the first time you look at it, you're like, well, at least for me, the first time I looked at it, I go, where? What do I do? How do I start?
Yeah.
And then the more I looked at it, the more I read, the more I picked something up that I was like, okay, I know what this is, so I'll start there. And then I went on and said, oh yeah, okay, so now I know where this goes. And that's how it started falling into place for me. Truly, it was amazing just working, even just on those couple that you sent me. And it kept me thinking, even when I didn't have it in my hand, at one point I remember thinking, it's like, maybe that would work if I go back and try that, and worked on it like that. So I truly want to say that this was, and I can't wait for my full book, but this was truly amazing. You've well written it. You've done it well. These are all puzzles
so much
that anybody can actually solve if you take the time. It might look confusing when you first see it, but that I think is part of the benefit of it. You really have to put your mind to wanting to solve it. And it has a little bit of everything in there, like you said. There is some codes in there, even some codes that we've talked about on the podcast before, because one of the pages that you do have, which you sent me, is a useful things page. And I just love this because you have, you know, have you the basic English alphabet, of course, but you have your NATO, you have your Morse code, a Roman
numeral. Yeah, these are some things which were used throughout the puzzles. Exactly, yeah.
Exactly. But even the ones that we've just talked recently on the podcast, you have the Braille alphabet. There's the Pigpen, Polybius. But then even the ones that I've seen in other puzzle books and I think are really cool, there's the phone one, the phone keypad, and the QWERTY keyboard, that you look at these things and you wouldn't think that they would make a code, but they really do. And it's really, really makes you think every single time you see a part of this. So again, a great job.
Thank you so much. I didn't know that you have already tried the puzzles. I'm so happy to hear that you like them, really.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I can't wait. Like I said, I can't wait for the full book just to try out the rest.
Okay.
How difficult, I know we've kind of talked this a little bit, but how difficult are the puzzles for, let's just say, a first-time person looking at your book saying, you know, maybe they're looking at the title saying meta puzzles. They don't know. Maybe they just bring it up or they buy it. But how difficult would you say these things are for somebody, for between somebody that's just picking up the book for the first time and maybe somebody that's used to puzzles, codes, ciphers, everything like that?
Yeah, well, it was we realized while working on the book that it's difficult to rate the difficulty of the puzzles, and in the testing phase we have determined that some things are very subjective. Like, it depends a lot on luck. Because you have a lot of these elements, it depends on where you will start. If you spot immediately the right element and start from there, then it might get easy. But if you start from a wrong point and try to solve something that's still unsolvable at that point, then you lose time. So both the difficulty and the time are quite subjective. So we didn't really rate the puzzles according to difficulty. But when I talk about the difficulty of the elements that are parts of those bigger meta puzzles, they are very diverse. There are some quite easy ones, like the initial ones are normally more straightforward, and there are some really, really difficult ones. The good thing is that there are hints in the book. So you always have a hint number right next to the element. Each element has its own hint, and it takes you to the hint, which will be just a short phrase to give you an idea. Never to reveal the whole procedure, but it can help. And of course, if you still cannot figure it out, then you can go to the solutions, to the back of the book. Each meta puzzle has its own two pages again. So the solutions are very detailed and they are visually explained. They are ordered in order of solving. So you can always go to up to the point where you had a problem, then, you know, read that part and then go back to the puzzle. But I would say in general, I mean, the most difficult part of solving these puzzles is to figure out what you need to do. But as soon as you do that, the rest of solving an element is normally not going to be extremely difficult.
So, and you actually answered my next question, and that was going to be, if somebody is stuck, or they want to know what the answer is, maybe they've worked on the puzzle for long enough, you have the answers in the book. So that's great, because a lot of the times when something, you get stumped on one of these things, you kind of want to know what the answer is. You know, there's no prize involved at the end or anything like that. So you just want to know maybe what you were doing wrong. So that's awesome that you have like that visual aspect at the end where people can look it up and say, oh, that's where I went wrong. And maybe they do it on the first one and then they don't do it again on the next one, or the ones afterwards, because now they know where they need to go from then on. So I've used that tool in some puzzle boxes where I've maybe given myself a hint on the first couple of clues just to know where I need to go. And I haven't used them again for the whole rest of the puzzle, because now I know how things are working. So that's awesome that you have both a hint section and obviously the answers as well. How did you come up with the idea of this puzzle book? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as I said, I love puzzles. I'm very passionate about puzzles in general. I collect puzzle books and magazines from all over the world, and I have a huge collection already. Every time I travel somewhere, I buy some new things, books, magazines, even if I'm in a country where I don't speak the language, I always connect them. And it's always interesting to see the puzzle in different countries, because especially when it comes to word puzzles, they are always quite different in different cultures. They're not so heavily influenced by global trends like it happens with other things like arts, literature, music, and so on. Of course, the language-independent puzzles, Japanese logic puzzles like Sudokus and so on, are global. But some other things like crosswords, for example, exist everywhere, but they're very different from country to country. So for me as a puzzle author, it's always interesting to see these things and to explore. And it happened to me a few times that when I open a book in a foreign language and I see an interesting puzzle type, sometimes consisting of several parts or sections, like these meta puzzles in the book, and then I see that a lot is happening there, and I see that it's interesting and something needs to be done, but I don't know what, because I don't understand the language. And of course, there are those translating apps that we all have on our phones, where you can see the text through the camera and understand, right? That you can read it in English.
That's AI is amazing these days.
Yeah. But actually, I realized that this moment when you're trying to figure out yourself what to do with a puzzle is exciting. And then I thought, that gave me the idea. Then I thought I could actually make something like this, like a complex puzzle, where you have no idea what you have to do with it. Because this curiosity that is suddenly involved makes the puzzle even more interesting. And this no instructions principle is something that works well, for example, in escape rooms. This is what makes it exciting, because when you enter the room, you don't know what you have to do. But in pen and paper puzzles, it hasn't been used that often. Like, there are some books which have used also the no instruction principle, for example, theorem. I mean, there are a lot of books, but they are not the typical pen and paper puzzles where you have to kind of fill in some grids, solve some things, and so on. And I tried to really base the book on this, on pen and paper puzzles, which are now turned into something more mysterious. And I think when you have, for example, a regular Sudoku, you always have the same rules of the puzzle and you know exactly what you have to do with it, which is fine, because the motivation is the intellectual challenge. Am I going to be able to solve it or not? But I think when you have a curiosity and this urge to uncover the secret, it gets even more interesting. And these aha moments are even stronger then, and because there is a discovery involved. So, and this applies, of course, to treasure hunts, as you probably know, right?
I mean, absolutely, that aha moment is just the most amazing thing in the world. And I had several of them while working on those puzzles that you're like I said, I saw something, I recognized that part, so I started there. And then I went, aha, and that led me somewhere else. And so it's just, that's sometimes all it takes is that one moment where you're like, okay, I recognize this little part, and that's where I start. Leading on to that then, tell me some of the themes that you've used in the book then, please. I mean, obviously there's 20-something puzzles, like you said. So talk about the themes of the book.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of different things. When I started working on the book, I realized it would be useful for me as a constructor of the puzzles to have some shorter solutions, some longer ones. And that would give me, of course, the freedom in constructing the puzzles. So I thought I could make a small scenario for each one of the puzzles and, of course, throw in some of these cliches, which are always there, but still it always makes the puzzles somehow exciting and interesting, like some secret agents, spies, secret societies, abandoned houses, jail escapes, aliens, deserted islands with treasure on them, of course. And so on. So, I mean, there's a lot of things in it. I think mystery is always good. It fits well with puzzles always. And I personally love everything that involves mystery, whether it's movies, books. I was always a fan of anything, you know, that has that kind of themes in it. So, of course, it had to be kind of all of that in the book.
Excellent. Right. Well, the big moment, obviously, is tell us a little bit about when the book's being released, how it's going to be available, where people can get it. Take this time right now to just go and tell everybody how they can get the Compendium of Meta Puzzles for themselves.
Yeah, the book is already available. It has been released. As I said, it's published by Puzzle Right Press. That's an imprint of the company Union Square & Co. So on their website, you can find the product page of the book with several links that you can follow if you want to order the book online. But you can, I mean, order it also on Amazon or on Barnes & Noble website. That's the easiest way. It will be in bookstores also, but I think the easiest way is definitely to order it online.
So, and all the information that you've given me about how to get the book and everything like that, that's going to be in my show notes. So people will be able to find that information. Paige, thank you for coming on today. I know this wasn't a very long one. We wanted to get this out so that people can actually start, listen, see what the book's about, and then go out and get it for themselves. Did you want to share anything more with us today and the listeners?
No, well, I would just like to thank you for inviting me and for doing this podcast, because I think it's amazing. I've listened to a few episodes. There's so many interesting themes, like for people like us who are into these kind of things. It's a perfect thing. Thank you for doing this.
I appreciate the kind words. I have fun, and that's the main thing. I've managed to get a couple of subscribers, so it's not actually costing me anything but a little bit of time to make sure I speak with amazing people like you. So this is a joy, being able to reach out and speak with people all over the world and have you come on and talk about your amazing book, because like I said, I love the puzzles. These things just bring joy because they're not something that's a competition. It's a competition with yourself. So you're not racing to try and solve it, to try and find, you know, a treasure somewhere, which I've done. You're not solving it to, you know, stop the world blowing up or stopping your 60-minute timer in an escape room.
Definitely,
which I've done.
I think it's a good thing that there is that you don't have to count the time. I didn't want to tell people you have to do this in 1 hour or anything. That's what I don't like about the escape rooms, actually. It's always good to just enjoy the puzzle, whatever it takes, however, whatever the time you need.
Just get that solved at the end. Yep, that's exactly right. Sometimes when I've been in an escape room and I haven't finished, and the time's run out, you want to go, well, how does it end? You know, it can't just end here for me, where you open the door and say, "Oh, your time's out." But, you know, how does it end? So. You're always going to have that ending. So again, Paige, thank you for taking the time for coming on for us today. I will put up all the information about the book. I just purchased it through Amazon. I know a lot of people. I've sent it to the link to a lot of people who I know that are going to love your book and also going to purchase it. So everybody, get out there and get this book. You're going to love it. Please make sure that you do let Paige know. How can people contact you if they do need to do so? Is there a way that they can reach out to you at all?
Well, I'm on Twitter, on X. Called X now, right? They can find me there, Peja Banovic. I think, the easiest way, yeah.
And I'll put that in the show notes as well. Well, again, thank you for coming on today. And I hope you have a great rest of your day and good luck with the book. We'll hopefully talk to you again later on in the year, okay?
Yeah, thank you so much, Robert. Thank you.
All right. So now, once again, we've come to the end of another show. For all the information that didn't make it into the podcast, like we did talk about, please do go to the links on the show notes to make sure that you do get everything that you missed. Please also don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or with the handle at CodeBarLive, as well as follow our partner, Areas Grey. They have a lot of interesting stuff coming up. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts, and please do help us grow by leaving a rating and review, especially on the big one, Apple Podcasts. And until next time, everyone, keep digging.